Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Good to be in the studio, and I hope all of you had a nice, 12 days of Christmas,
yeah.
And now we're in, what day are we in now?
I don't even know.
I don't know. a week ago was Epiphany.
Yeah.
So you said we're still in Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it ended at Epiphany, but you straightened me out.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually goes to the baptism of the Lord, but this year it's an extra week.
Wow.
The Christmas season. So, yeah. So you have the, you have the Christmas.
But I already took my tree down.
You got to go and put it back up. Come on, you got to put it back up.
But it's sitting on the tree lawn.
You have the octave day. You know, you have the 8 days of, there's the octave of Christmas, which is the Monday, Christmas is on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
So the next Tuesday would be the octave of Christmas, eight. You would know that from musical terms. Octave.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go home and put some more lights up.
And you have four more days after that, 12.
Oh, man. Yeah. Maybe I'll just keep my decorations up all year.
See, but the light of Christ is all you need.
Amen.
There you go.
Woo.
The light has come into the darkness.
That's right. On the people that dwelled in the darkness and the gloom,
yeah.
The light has shone. My friend Isaiah.
And the light penetrates the darkness.
Amen. Woo. That's good.
Doesn't cover it, yeah.
That's good.
First John. Or
wow.
John chapter 1.
Very good. But that's not our topic for today.
It's not?
No.
Oh, but I got the wrong set of notes.
But that's a good topic.
Yeah, that is.
No, today we're going to talk about what's commonly called the flight into Egypt from Matthew chapter 2.
Air France?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, as we know, Joseph didn't make reservations in Bethlehem, but then he did make reservations for a flight into Egypt.
Priceline.
And they had an express donkey to go to the airport.
The express donkey checkout. Bring your mules here.
And this is an interesting, we're going to do Matthew 2, 13 through 15 for starters. And it's interesting because I don't know if many of you have realized this or not, but Joseph, as awesome of a man that he was slash is, nowhere in the scriptures does Joseph say a single word, which is kind of interesting, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a single word. But he does some really powerful things, and he always seems to be in communication with angels, mm-hmm. either in
yes.
dreams or otherwise, and he's always obedient to what they say.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
As I think you mentioned, or we mentioned a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or whenever it was, talking about Joseph, what an amazing privilege it was to be the protector of baby Jesus and Mary.
Yeah.
Not only at this time, but, you know, until he died. I mean, we know Joseph was alive when Jesus was 12,
mm-hmm.
but then he's not mentioned anymore.
Right.
So probably sometime in Jesus' teenage years or 20s, Joseph dies.
Mm-hmm.
But what a remarkable privilege to be the provider for the Messiah and his mother. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, because, you know, that's part of God's plan is that Jesus was raised by human parents.
Yes.
And they were to care for him and raise him into adulthood. And
yeah.
No small task.
Yes. And it's interesting that a lot of times where in the Gospels, especially Luke 4, I can think of offhand, where people say, well, wait a minute. You're the son of Joseph and Mary. We know who you are.
Yeah.
So now who do you think you are saying all this other stuff?
Yeah. You wonder what the dinner table is like.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my father created all this.
Yeah.
Yes, we know. You've reminded us about that. No.
Yeah.
That's not even in the footnotes.
No. So now in this passage from Matthew 2, if you want to read it, Steve.
Sure.
We'll see how he really takes charge of the situation here where there's a threat, when there's a threat against the young child. And we don't know exactly when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and read 13 through 15.
Okay. I'm going to go back to 12. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. So that was the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
So here we see Joseph immediately acts on this warning.
Yeah.
You know, he has a dream where the angel says, get up, take the child and his mother and go. And it says he arose, took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt.
Yeah.
So he didn't wait around. He didn't wait around till morning to discuss it with Mary. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go into town and I'm going to stop in at the Panera and see what everybody else thinks about this while we're having coffee. He gets up and goes as soon as he's ordered to,
mm-hmm.
which I just thought was pretty indicative of him. And, you know, he, and you read that other verse, which was good because I'm sure Herod was also infuriated that those magi never came back.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that part.
But, yeah, I never came back. He wanted him to come back so he could go find where the child was.
Well, like you said, it's interesting because Joseph has these dreams.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord intercedes or intervenes in his life.
Yeah.
And especially when Mary, you know, is pregnant with the child. The Holy Spirit, in a dream, the Holy Spirit tells him that, you know, to take Mary as his wife.
Mm-hmm.
As the child is, you know, the child is going to be, that she's going to carry is the child of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And so here again, in a dream, he's warned, to take the children, you know, take the child and his mother and get up and go. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that's like an ultimate Hineni response.
Yes.
He just does it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't question it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go, well, let me think about that for a little bit. Cause you know, I've got my woodworking business here and I just made some contacts and gosh.
We can go to Egypt.
You know, can't we go to Egypt like later when it's warmer? You know,
he
didn't say any of that. And it's interesting, the wise men too, they're warned in a dream not to return to Herod.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord's speaking to them, that his plan is fulfilled and it's not, that it's not throttled, so to say.
Yeah. And after the Magi, the news of where Jesus was sort of got out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Herod didn't know exactly because they never went back and they never bothered to go look for him at this point.
Right.
But it was kind of obscure as to where he was. The Magi found him.
Right.
And interestingly, too, the division between people is already starting because of the Messiah. Because of Jesus, there's always division between people.
Yeah.
And we see it in our time. I mean, I don't want to get off on a tangent about that.
Yeah.
But now, which, you know, we were talking about that earlier before we came on the air.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do a series of shows about that coming up in the near future. But there's a division. Either you're with him or you're not with him.
Yeah.
And as Jesus himself said, you're either with me or you're against me.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground. In Revelation, he says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out.
Yeah, I wish you were hot or cold.
Yes. And so here, there's already, and as we know, you know, Simeon's going to say he's going to be responsible for the rise and fall of many in Israel, which he was. And so now we already have a situation where the local government, so to speak, is going to go looking for him.
Yeah.
Because they want to destroy the child.
Because Herod's threatened by him.
Yes.
He's like, who's this king of the Jews? Well, we're going to eliminate that. We're going to eliminate that right there because I'm the king.
Yeah.
So, you know, you said he causes division. He's a cause of division because there is the separation of the sheep and goats.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
The weeds and the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that with the Lord because there's those who are going to be welcomed into the kingdom and those who are not going to accept the Lord and they're going to be departed from the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, not by God's design, but by their own shoes, by their own choosing.
Yeah.
So, but Herod, well, we'll get to that, but, Joseph is warned that Herod's going to search for the child to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very specific.
Yeah. And he gets it in a dream again.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what the danger was, what the situation was. until he has a dream that where this angel tells him, get up and go.
Yeah, and they left right then and there in the in the middle of the night.
Joseph had no way to know what Herod was thinking. Herod, of course, as you mentioned, the good point you mentioned, Herod was worried about his own position.
Yeah.
And now he has a threat against him. He's been in power a long time, and he's not about to give up his power because some baby king has been born.
Yeah.
Plus he has his own son, but he wants to deal with that. And that division goes on with us. As you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, people say, well, hey, I got my money. I got my lifestyle. I got my job. I got my car. I got my house. I got the country club I go to or whatever it is. You know, I don't have time for this Jesus business.
Yeah.
Or, of course, if you listen to the prosperity preachers, you can have both. If you listen to Jesus, you're not going to have both. You're either going to be with him or you're going to be with the world.
Yeah.
And he says, if the world loves you and if you're really popular in the world, then something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, and I was having a conversation with someone about this over the last couple of weeks, is that, you know, Jesus told his disciples, you know, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Yet Abraham was blessed by God with riches.
Yeah, yes.
But you have to remember, Abraham was also willing to sacrifice his own son because God asked him to. So it's not that Abraham was possessed by all of the possessions that God bestowed upon him. Abraham's possession of his heart was really his relationship with God. And that's really what is key, is that no matter what God gives me or what God bestows upon me, it's all his. And do I put it back at his disposal? Am I his servant and go, okay, well, Lord, everything you've given me, my family, my job, my income, all of that is yours anyway.
Right.
So what do you want me to do with it? And it's a response back to God for all that he's given and all that he's given through his son, Jesus Christ, you know? And so the angel also says something interesting. He says, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Stay there until I tell you. It reminds me of when Jesus tells the disciples, wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the gift, the promise of the Father.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere until you receive this. And the angel here is telling Joseph, stay there until I tell you. It's okay to leave.
Yes. Wow, that's a good point.
You know, he doesn't know how long that's going to be.
Yeah.
You know?
He doesn't even know exactly what's going to happen, but he moves in faith and obedience.
Yeah, and the angel doesn't say, "Well, we made some arrangements for you at the Marriott, you know, the Embassy Suites, and you're going to have room at a suite there for a couple of years."
Yeah.
There's none of that. They just they're obedient to God's word, or to the prompting of God through the angel, the through the dream by the angel of the Lord, and they go.
Yeah, the angel tells Joseph, there's a danger, tells them what it is. They're seeking the life of the child and what the plan is going to be.
Yeah.
So Joseph doesn't even debate it. The angel tells him there's enemies that are coming. You know, there's always enemies against the kingdom, as we're talking about. I mean, it's a division, but there's always enemies of the kingdom, enemies of God's plan, enemies of his word. And so the angel makes it known to Joseph, and Joseph, like we said, doesn't debate about it.
Yeah.
He immediately obeys.
He's a very righteous, in scripture, he's portrayed as a very righteous man.
Yes.
You know,
very different than Herod. You know, Herod says to the Magi, you know, he deceitfully says, oh, when you find the child, come back and let me know so I can go worship him too.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got this deceitful piety. Oh yeah, you know, I want to go worship him too.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say it's interesting because last week I went and played for a mass with a couple of friends of mine, and the one person there said, oh yeah, they really liked us, and I said, did they really? They go, well, they're a truthful person, they wouldn't lie, and he goes, why did you ask that? I said, well, because sometimes people will tell you something and they really don't mean it.
Yes,
and in our culture, see a lot of Christians in our culture hide behind this mask of political correctness.
Yes.
Where they go, oh, that was very nice, but it's not really what they think.
Yeah.
And, you know, your yes isn't meaning yes and your no isn't meaning no.
Yeah.
And Jesus says clearly, you know, anything else is from the evil one. If you do that, you're not speaking the truth of God.
Yeah.
And we get caught up in that in our culture.
Yeah.
And that's really permeating in the church right now.
That's an excellent point. Because you have the group, too, that has, you know, like their Sunday morning and then there's the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I go on Sunday morning. Then the rest of the week, I got my work life. I got my personal life.
Yeah.
I got my time doing the whatever.
And it's totally separate from the relationship with the Lord. Yeah.
Exactly. And so they may give it lip service like Herod did. And it may even be deceitful. Like people say to you, well, I go to church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you trying to tell me? You know, what else do you want me to do?
How dare you?
I mean, it's the total opposite of Joseph.
Yeah.
Now, he's already had one dream with an angel where, like you said, you know, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife.
Right.
So now he's getting used to these angel dreams. And he probably, you know, before Jesus was conceived and now born, Joseph probably didn't have a lot of communication with angels. But now he's in a pretty special position.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, he's also going to be told, and this is after some time, that the angel's going to return to him and tell him when Herod dies.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think this is important for us too. You know, you can always make parallels from the scripture. That's what I really like. Just like you can make parallels from Old Testament, New Testament, you can make parallels of everything, because this also applies to us in the sense, if you're connected to Christ, if you're connected to the Lord, like Joseph now was, you're connected to the kingdom of God, like Joseph now was, and you're going to have words about what's going on, what to do, what's happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't sense what's going on, you may get a word that says, you know, don't go there. Don't trust that guy. Go over here or go do that. Whereas before you may not have.
Yeah.
And Joseph certainly didn't have a lot of communication with angels while he was working in Nazareth.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the, you know, it's one of the charisms of the Holy Spirit is a word of knowledge.
Exactly.
And Joseph is, you know, God's imparting that to Joseph through the angel in these dreams. And Joseph is attentive to God speaking to him and how God is speaking to him.
Yeah. So right from Jesus' infancy, there's already struggle, conflict,
and strife.
Division.
Yep. Strife. Yep.
There's already a plan by darkness to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I think in our days, people have lost sensitivity to that. People don't realize what's going on.
I mean, if you think about it, if you think of things in terms of physical terms, you can lose the whole picture of what's taking place spiritually,
mm-hmm.
in spiritual terms, in mm-hmm. the spiritual realm. Because from the very beginning, when God created man and woman, Satan was out to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
And they got, you know, Adam and Eve got expelled from the garden.
Exactly.
When God chose Abraham and the nation of Israel, they were attacked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Satan wanted to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
Satan always wants to destroy the work of God.
Yes.
And when Jesus is born, he's right back at work,
mm-hmm.
trying to destroy what God's plan is.
Mm-hmm.
But God's plan is always fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And so we can think of things, you know, physically, like, gosh, there's this persecution against this person, or there's this persecution against these people. And certainly that happens. But when we lose sight of the fact that they are believers in God,
mm-hmm.
and not just a group of people of a nationality or a race or creed, but they are believers of God or chosen by God, then that puts it in the proper context of what's happening spiritually here and the battle that has been waged from the very beginning between God and Satan.
Yes, good point. That's an excellent point. And you see that battle, you know, we were talking about destroying young people.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to Egypt, you know, the Pharaoh said, kill all the Hebrew boys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen with Moses.
Yeah.
They were worried about how many Hebrews there were.
Right.
But then a deliverer was going to come, kill all the Hebrew boys, because we can't take a chance with a deliverer, and we want to control the population.
Yeah, because there was a lot of them, and they thought, gosh, they could overtake us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when the people got to the land, God warned them about the pagans that were living there that would sacrifice their children to the god Moloch, and they would throw babies into the fire.
Wow.
And what do we have in our time? We have abortion, which since 1973 has been legal here in this country, where we sacrifice babies for the sake of somebody's convenience.
And so-called Christians are now saying that it's a humane thing to do.
Yes. There are organized churches now that are coming out in support of it.
Yeah.
The Methodist Church is about to.
Yeah.
And I think that, and if you're listening and you're in the Methodist Church, please say something.
Yeah.
Please say something. And this pattern goes on through salvation history, destroy the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in Revelation, you have the dragon that's waiting for the woman to give birth so he can destroy the child.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. But God protects her.
Yeah.
And we can see this is what's happening here. Mm-hmm. We have the child, we have the woman, and God makes a means to protect them.
Yeah.
Because Herod, obviously, is not going to get to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And it's the in this case, there's a plan of escape to another place because the baby had to be protected. The infant or toddler or whatever he was at this point had to be protected because the time, although it was the time for him to be born, to be brought into the world, to be manifested to the world, and even to be manifested to Gentiles, as we talked about last week, the time for him to die was certainly not here yet. And so the human parents that he was given had to be able to protect him. But there is no way that Joseph and Mary would, number one, have any idea what Herod was planning to do. And number two, if Herod's soldiers or whatever they were would have shown up to take the baby and kill him, Joseph and Mary on their own strength could certainly not have stopped them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So this is pretty amazing.
You know, in one sense, God's in a way giving them divine protection.
Yes.
But not physically like in a legion of angels or an army or, you know, people that are guarding them, but he's giving them divine protection through these messages. And that's why it's so important that in your walk with the Lord that you are, you know, you give up all the things that prevent your walk becoming so close with the Lord that you hear his voice and you understand it and you know his voice and that you respond to his voice.
Yes.
Because if you have a lot of things of clutter in your life, then hearing God becomes a little bit more difficult because you start to go, well, gosh, but I like this thing that I have and I really don't want to give that up. And then you start making your own decisions.
Right.
And then you stop listening to God. And when you get into a situation, you go, Lord, help me.
Yes.
get me out of this.
And it may mean spending less time watching TV, spending less time, you know, on your computer doing mindless things, playing games, sitting around playing games on your cell phone or whatever you do. And it may mean more time reading the word and praying and reflecting on things because there's so much, as you mentioned, there's so much clutter that how can you even hear his voice?
Yeah.
You know, and if you say to the Lord, well, gee, I wish you had told me about that. He could say to you, hey, I tried for a year to tell you about that too.
Yeah.
But you weren't listening.
Yeah. Sometimes silence is the answer and it means no, not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, when you look at the great, prophets and mystics through history, the great saints of history, you know, they didn't get words and act on what they did by staying busy all the time. They got it because they were meditating and reflecting. And
yeah.
Is this the music already?
It is.
I'm not even fourth of the way through my notes. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that, like Joseph, you too would be attentive to God's word and his call, that you could respond to God's word and God's call. and follow him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.